Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Good morning and welcome into the house of the Lord. We're glad that you made a good decision today. Every day we have choices and decisions to make, and this is one that is very, very important. How you begin your week is likely how your week will go. Just like I always say that in the middle of a crisis, the first words out of your mouth, they set the tone of what the outcome is going to be. So you're doing the same thing. Every choice has a reward or a consequence, doesn't it? So you're going to be rewarded for making the right decision here. This morning, we have chosen something that has been on our hearts for a very, very long time, and it remains a theme, and that is the secret place or intimacy with God. I called it It's a Secret. And it's about our personal relationship with God. And I want to begin by saying that everyone who knows about God does not know God personally. Just because you've been to a million bazillion Bible studies does not mean you have a relationship with God. Am I correct? Because I know people who know the Bible, but they don't know the God of the Bible. I can read a book, but maybe Ken wrote a book, but that doesn't mean I know him, does it? It means I know what he said in his book. And just because I know of Michael Jordan absolutely does not mean that him and I have a personal relationship, does it? These are two different things. So God said in his word, God himself actually said this, that Abraham was a personal friend of his. It is one thing for me to say that I'm a friend of Frida's, but it's another thing for Frida to say she is my friend. The reality is that God is our friend, God loves us, but that does not mean that we are a friend of God. Many, many years ago, I had a friendship that eventually broke up. The person left our church. And I was asking my brother, I said, but we were friends. We were friends. And I was crying, and he said, not exactly. He said, you were a friend to that individual. They were not your friend. You thought they were. And God is our friend, but are we a friend of God? And if you love someone, you talk with them a lot. You have a relationship. There's an old song, Frida and our choir sang it, let's have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our weakest cry, answer by and by. You know, I would submit to you in talking, again, we're talking about having a relationship with God, Ken, that when we have a problem or even when I have good news, are we not guilty of talking to everybody, our best friend, our BFF, our BFF 1 and 2 and 3, and the neighbor and the doctor and the lawyer and anybody we come in contact with, but God. And so when was the last time, and please don't raise your hand, when was the last time you really got alone with Jesus and you had a little talk with Jesus and told him about the concerns of your heart? Proverbs 18:24 says, one who has unreliable friends will come to ruin, but there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I want to read something. I'm going to turn this over to Ken. This is just the beginning. Matthew 6:6, but you, Frida, Pam, Pastor Ken, Barney, Samantha, when you go into your room, and when you shut your door and pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly, I want to tell you that the best definition I've ever heard as I studied the word secret yesterday was when you enter into the intimate sacred place. When you enter into the secret, intimate, sacred place. This is the words of Jesus that tells us, it says when you pray, it does not say if you pray, if you want to pray. It says when you pray, and Jesus taught us three things, how to pray, where to pray, when to pray. But the most powerful thing of all about Matthew 6:6 is that it says when you go into your closet and your room and you shut the door, shut the world out, shut the problems out, shut the enemy out, shut the noise and chatter out, your Father, who is in the secret place, he's already there waiting for you. I literally love that God is already in the secret place waiting. I would be a fool not to enter in.
Okay, so hello, everybody. But I think that the topic of the secret place may be my favorite message. Not this message, how we're going to deliver it, but the whole idea of there being a secret place that we can go. So, Pam, you said you studied. Okay, so guess what I studied?
Secret.
Nope. I went to Strong's, on Matthew 6, I went to Strong's to look up, and I always thought of a prayer closet of being a closet where there's clothes, right? Because that's the only closet, that's the closet. It turns out that the Greek word is storage closet. Think about a storage closet where there's, I like that. There's a storage closet. So the secret place. How exciting is it that God would talk to us? And we think back at the Old Testament, and I think we covered this last week, how Moses would go into the tent of meeting, just him and God. And the people would watch him go in and stand there and watch, and then he would come out. Now, who would you rather be, honestly? One of the guys watching on the sidelines or the person in the tent of meeting? Who do you want to be? And you say, well, we can't all be Moseses. We don't live in the Old Testament anymore. You are a priest. You have every invitation and every right. You're invited into the secret place. Jesus invited you in over and over. So we don't want to be participants. I was thinking this week again, well, I went to the doctor for this issue I was having with my esophagus, and he said to me, he said, what are you eating? And he said, maybe something you're eating, there's all these things that you could be allergic to. There's like these 7 food groups. He goes, we got to figure out what you're eating. You shouldn't be eating. And I was thinking about that. When someone says, oh, life is so bad, just everything's wrong, and then they're listing all the things. And I was thinking about my doctor saying, we need to find out what you're eating. We need to find out what you're feeding. Because think of this. If you were looking for food, for living bread, living water, and you're looking in a garbage dump, do you find high-quality food in a garbage dump? Does anyone know what I'm talking about by looking for food in a garbage dump and then being surprised when you're at the end of the day and go, life is so depressing. Yeah, I just spent 4 hours in the garbage dump. But you're not going to find beauty in a garbage dump, but you might find it in a diamond store. So if you want living water, you have to go to where the living water is. And think about this, because as a man think in his heart, so is he. So what should we be thinking on? Whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. See, God knows what he's talking about, that the things you meditate on. And when we go into the secret place, and there is some secrets to the secret place, which I'll talk about in a minute, but I just wanted to personally tell you, and I believe this with all of my heart, that if God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit could grab this microphone and tell you what's on their heart, that they would tell you, you are invited in your personal, private life to join with God. And you should be doing, I want to encourage you as a church, you should be doing that, going into the secret place. You can't do it at church. It's got to be a place where it's just you and God, and that is absolutely the most amazing truth that I know about Christianity is that you can go into a quiet place and you can say, God, it's me. And you can hear from God and God can hear from you. I will tell you that I don't ever think there's been a time that I've set myself to say, whether I feel like it or not, but I'm going to spend time right now. I'm going to spend time. If I ever do that, if I go into that closet, I go into that quiet place, that secret place, I've never regretted it. So here's two secrets to the secret place. There should be some secrets to the secret place. These are my secrets, and they absolutely work. If you ever say, I want that intimacy with God, I want to feel that, because isn't that what you want? Come on. Don't you want to say you've connected with God? Don't you want to feel that you've connected? Don't you want to know that you're he's the vine, you're the branch, and that you've connected? Sometimes when we pray, we don't know how to pray. That's why the disciples are like, how do we pray? Jesus teaches how to pray. And so, like, God, and you draw in a blank. You're like, I'm not sure which direction to go. So here's the two Pastor Ken secrets that have never failed me. And these can work together or they can work independent of one another. Secret number one is bring some praise music into your prayer closet with you. I'm telling you, there's something about having worship music because when we're praising, it will help you worship. The Holy Spirit will feel welcome. The devil won't feel welcome. But you are setting an atmosphere, just like if someone was coming to your house, you would set an atmosphere on, right? You wouldn't have Ozzy Osbourne or whatever on the radio. You would have, if the Holy Spirit was visiting your house, it would be in order. So that's my number one secret, is praise music. And Pam, I'm turning it over to you right after this. The second thing is, when you don't know how to pray, and this has helped me so much, don't read the Psalms. Do not read the Psalms. Again, don't read the Psalms. You say, why? Because you should be praying the Psalms. Check it out. Don't just read them like it's a history book. Get involved in the Psalms. Open, and where should you open up? Anywhere from chapter 1 to chapter 10. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. It's food. It is manna from heaven, and wherever you open up in Psalms is where you need to be. But pray the Psalms. Invite God, and you will hear God speak to you right then and right there. That's my secret, and it just works for me.
Okay, I'm going to tell you one of my secrets about the secret place. Here's the deal. I used to think that things would change in my life if I talked to God, and we are supposed to talk to God. I don't think that anymore, that things change just because I talk to God, because a lot of times I'm like, God, I want to talk to you. I need this, and I need that, and I need that, and blah, 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 and this is wrong, and that's wrong, and that's wrong, and that's going on, blah, 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 God, God, God. Things don't change when I talk to God. Do you know what my secret is? Things change when I let God talk to me. Things change when I go in the secret place, not for the purpose of just bringing my Santa Claus, I need these 300,000 things and $300,000. Things change when I go in the secret place and say, God, I need to hear from you. How do you feel when you're having a conversation and one person does all the talking? And that's usually how it used to be many, many years ago with me and God. It was like, I'm doing all the talking and I'm just waiting, God, for you to put the things under the Christmas tree that I ask you for. And I'm not saying you don't take your things to God. You do. Take it to Jesus. But tell him your problems, he already knows them. Can I just say that openly? He already knows what you're even going to say and what you think. So I can save myself some time by saying, God, yes, I have some needs, and you already know what they are. So now let's get down to business, and I'd like to hear from you. I can't hear from God when I have the world in my ear, can I? I can't hear from God. Here's what Psalm 95:7 actually confirms my secret. Here's what it says. It says, today, right now, if you will hear my voice. God is speaking. If implies that you might not want to hear my voice, or you might not be listening to my voice. It's if you make a decision. It's really, really powerful, but it implies that you can hear the voice of God, not tomorrow, but today, if you are listening. John 10:27 also says, my sheep hear my voice. not just I hear them. God does say that. I hear them when they cry. But it says, my sheep also hear me. They know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you hear the voice of God, then there's something you need to do is follow him, just like the disciples. We need to be prepared to be obedient. James 1:21-1:22 says, we are to be not just hearers, okay? So we know we're supposed to hear the voice of God, but doers of the word. And if we're not doers of the word, it goes on to say we are deceiving ourselves. We are kidding ourselves. We are joking if we say that we are Christians and if we hear God and we do through the word and we do not obey God. I'm going to tell you that radical obedience is obeying God and his commands to the fullest measure. Do you know that was a revelation the Holy Spirit gave me? I am not interested in half-hearted, half-baked Christianity. That is phony baloney. I'm interested in your complete, whole obedience. I'm not interested in giving me half your heart, half your tithe, half your love, half your anything. That's not a relationship, covenant. Radical obedience does not imply minimal standards, but pursues extravagance to God's commands. We're called to an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, a committed relationship, a personal relationship. And I am here to tell you that when you get alone with God and if you will close the door, your life will be changed. If you will listen to God, if you will obey God, he will heal you. He will transform you. You will never walk. Can I say this? And you can hear this with your heart. Let me ask you, do you ever walk out of the secret closet, out of a place with God, and you're not changed? No. It never happens. I always feel a peace. I always feel like things are about to turn around. And when I obey, that activates the promises of God, and things start happening in my life. Blessings start happening.
And if it's, this is not a message that you should pray or read your Bible. This is not a message of bondage. If you're praying or reading the word and it feels religious, it probably is. I promise you, you're doing it wrong. Yeah, you're doing it wrong. Because when you pray the Psalms and you've set aside time for God and you hear him speaking to you through the word and you walk out of there, you say, are you changed? When you walk out, you say to yourself, I have just heard from God. Now, how can there be anything higher or better than that? Jesus told the story in Matthew about the foolish man that did not build his house on the rock, and when the winds came and the rain came, the house fell down, but the wise man built his house on the rock, and of course, when the rain and everything came, because he was wise, it did not fall down. And when you have a foundation of running to God, and there really is an advantage to coming to God at a young age, because as you get older, every crisis that comes, you just immediately begin to go to God. You immediately go to God. And you need to do that as an adult. He needs to be the first prayer. The first stop needs to be, oh, God. That's a good start to pray to God. Now, here's the thing about the secret place that I realize, is that you might get to the place where you're like, I want to go to the secret place, but first I need everything in order. Like, I need things to be working out for me. Because you think, I'm not in a good place for God to minister to me because life is so hard right now. I feel like I'm in a prison. And this is my personal picture of a secret place. I want you to imagine a solitary confinement prison. And in there is a bowl of water and some old bread. And it's a dirt floor and it's cold. And that's where you live. In solitary, now I can't think of a worse place, right? That's awful. And you go, well, then where would the secret place be? So you're in this horrible place. That's your life. If your life is that bad, I hope it isn't. But let's say it is. And as you're exploring the solitary confinement, you notice that one of the big bricks is a secret wall. And you push on it. And right outside of solitary confinement is a garden. And it's beautiful. And there's a stream. And it's the Garden of Eden, basically. Or it's the throne room of God. Maybe that's where we go. The secret place opens into the throne room of God. I want you to know that whether you are in the palace or you are in the pit, the secret place is the same. And it has the same effect on your life. And you should not judge your... A rose can grow in the middle of a prison courtyard, can it? And you can have a vibrant and living relationship with God no matter what your personal... The secret place is a part. It no matter what's wrong with your life. I don't care if you're in a nursing home, you can get away with God. It does not matter if you're paralyzed. It does not matter if you're poor. It does not matter if you're in the palace. Okay, I've got some scriptures I'm going to be reading through the rest of the message that have to do with words from God about the secret place. And this is the first one. It's from Psalm 18. This is the Message Bible, so this is what it says. And this describes the prison. The hangman's noose was at my throat. Devil waters were rushing over me. Hell's ropes had cinched me tight. Death traps barred every exit. It's a hostile world. Now he goes into the secret place. I call to God. I cry to God for help. I cry to God to help me. From his palace, he hears my call. My cry brings me right into his presence, a private audience. I'm going to read one more. Here's a scripture I've never confessed before. I've never had enough faith for it. He says in Psalm 27 in the Message Bible, when I am besieged, I'm as calm as a baby. When all hell breaks loose, yeah, I'm collected and cool. I wish that's the way we were. But this is what he says. This is the prayer. You'll recognize this. I'm asking God for one thing and only one thing, to live with him in his house my whole life long. I will contemplate his beauty. I will study at his feet. And that's the only quiet, secure place in a noisy world. It is the perfect getaway far from the buzz of traffic. Can you see that the secret place is a hideaway? It's a place to get away from all the problems and to just be in the presence of God.
It's so true. It's so true, and I think that sometimes people have such a wrong idea about spending time with God. They walk out and they say, and I'm going to do a teaching on this really soon on Monday night, the radiation of the Holy Spirit, that when you're out in the sun, you may think nothing is happening, but something is happening. You're being radiated. When you're having radiation treatment, you may think that nothing's happening to those tumors, but it is. They're shrinking. So when you're in the radiation of the Holy Spirit, sin is being removed from your life. Things are happening when you're in the presence of the Lord. When you're in the glory of the Lord, and I think about Moses and the people of God who they couldn't get too close to God, because they would literally be killed. And God knew that was a problem. And he said, no, I won't come too close to you because I know that would literally kill you. But then he realized when the people are distant from me, then they're into sin and they got trouble. So I got to do something about that. And so he sent his son Jesus. And so his son Jesus gave us the ability to come close and we would not die. He died instead. So it's going to be a powerful teaching. But I just want to say something about the power of being in the secret place. And can I believe what you say about, you know, you're crossing over. I liked your analogy with going through the bricks and into the garden, because I believe it's a portal into heaven. It is a portal into the throne room of God. It is an actual, when you go into the secret place takes you to another place, a place in God where there is peace, where there is rest, where there is hope, when you're hopeless. But I had a revelation from the Holy Spirit last night that I believe about shutting the door to the secret place and being alone with God. And here's the situation. And I'm going to explain it to you like this. If Pastor Ken and I, if he was to say, I want to talk to you, and we were to go into the room over there and we were to shut the door, the rest of you cannot hear that conversation. And I used to think, well, you don't want to take too many things and say too much even to God, because the enemy will hear that and he will use that against you. And I believe that the Holy Spirit clearly showed me, when you come in for the purpose of entering in and you come in to talk to me and you shut the door to the world, you are also shutting the door to the enemy. And the enemy cannot be a part of that conversation. He is not a part of that conversation. He may not abuse that conversation. That's a conversation between me and my God and my Father. And I can speak openly and I can speak freely and I can tell him anything I need to tell him. And more than that, he's going to protect my secrets. You know, you may have friends that told your secrets, but God's going to protect your secrets. And God's going to protect you also in the secret place. You are safe with him because he said, I will hide you under the pavilion of my wings. Those wings represent the mercy seat where the presence of God is, it under his wings. Just like I told you about many times ago, I told you about the chickens, when the story of the chickens, when it's a storm outside and the hen doesn't run after her chickens, which you would think, what kind of a mother doesn't run after their chickens? The hen, she's one, but she spreads her wings and she calls out to them and they run under her wings. And that's me with Jesus, and that's you with Jesus. But we hear from God in the secret place, and this really is a twofold message. But I wanted to throw something in, because we hear from God in the secret place, and then we obey what he tells us in the secret place, and then things change radically in our lives, okay? But I want to tell you that God gave me something yesterday that was just, I just was kind of in shock. To me, it's one of the most powerful sermons that I have literally ever heard, in about seven words. It was from Mary at the wedding supper in Cana of Galilee. And she was speaking to the servants that day, and it just hit me yesterday, Ken, the wisest and most powerful advice and sermon. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. This is advice from Mary, the mother of God. John 2:5. Whatever he says to you, do it. We could literally go home. Whatever he says to you, do it. And, you know, sometimes that's where we get tripped up, isn't it? That's the exact spot, Mary, where we get tripped up. We hear from God. We know we're supposed to obey God, and we don't go out and do it. And I believe that the secret place is where we hear from God and where we can purpose in our heart and ask God to give us the strength to do it. I believe the secret place, Ken, is like he hides me in the pavilion, the Bible says. It's like being in the eye of a storm. It can be storming all around you. There can be storms in your finances. There can be storms in your marriage. There can be storms with their children. There can be storms in the world, but you're safe in him. You are safe and covered and protected in him.
So you're saying we hear from God, but we don't want to do what he's saying. Is that what you were saying?
Sometimes it works. Sometimes it's like that.
I was thinking about, I'm supposed to pray in faith. I know that. I'm supposed to pray in faith. So we like to be real specific with God. And we like, I think that we don't like what he tells us to do because it doesn't make sense sometimes. Jesus said, go get a donkey. And if anyone says, why are you taking the donkey? Just say, I'm getting it for Jesus. It'll be okay. Now, that's a pretty strange request. You got to admit. You want us to go get a donkey and just take it? And that's strange. You want me to do what? I got to go to what river and wash off my eyes? He's not making any sense. He said we had to eat his body. It just doesn't make any, what he's saying doesn't make sense. So I was thinking that it's real convenient that to be a person of faith, you get to tell God exactly how to do things. Now, God, here's the way I want you to do this. You know, I'll take a check, you know. And God's like, I have a completely different way. So then I was thinking about Jesus, the prayer, thy will be done. And part of me, and I know this is silly, but I'm just letting you into my innermost thoughts here, which are crazy. Part of me is thinking, if I pray, thy will be done. That's not a strong faith prayer because, you know, God likes you to be specific, and it's not a strong faith prayer. And I feel like the Holy Spirit said it's the strongest faith prayer you can make because you're trusting God to know what to do for you. It's when we don't trust God that we tell him what he should do because he's going to get it wrong. So God, but when you really give it to God and say, your will be done, that's a faith thing because what you're saying is, I have a good father and he's not going to do bad things for me. And he knows how to handle this a lot better than I do. So we're talking about the secret place. And what will the secret place benefit you? Well, if you're a man named Daniel and you're prayed up and you get thrown to some lions, you get to sleep that night. If you're not prayed up, it's time to learn to pray. You know, I'm in the lion's den, and that's a lot of us, right? It's like, now that I'm in the den, it's time to start praying. Okay, but maybe get ready before the lion's den so you have that foundation. God is not impressed by religious prayers. Right? You ever try to get religious with God? Like all of a sudden you're the Pope or something, and he's like, I know who you are. You know, you can drop all the religion. I know who you are. So you don't have to be. So these are some prayer tips. Be real with God. Be real, right? Right? You think God's going to be impressed if you, oh, thou who sits on the. He's like, no, come on. Just what do you need? Next, be sincere. That may seem obvious. But we're so insincere often with people that sometimes we're insincere. Okay, next one. Be honest with God. Duh. Here's another one, Pam. Be respectful of God. Yes. Come on now. Honor. We're not little brats that are going up to the throne room and say, you know, give me my Xbox. Come on. He's to be honored. He's to be honored. And some prayers can actually be attacks on God. We don't want to attack God. We don't want to accuse God. We want to, okay, next one. Be thankful. Because the Bible says in everything give thanks. And how many of you know what romper room is? Raise your hand. When you pray, be a do be and not a don't be. All right. I told you I was going to read a few scriptures every time. So here's some of the new ones. By the way, I just saw this scientific article about islands, and they concluded this incredible conclusion that when an island is underwater, it's no longer an island. It's only an island when it's above water. And you'll see why we're talking about islands here. So Psalm 32, every one of us, 6 and 7, every one of us needs to pray, and when all hell breaks loose and the dam bursts, we will be on high ground untouched. God is my island hideaway. He keeps dangers far from shore and throws garlands of hosannas around my neck. So the point is that no matter what's happening in your life, that God is that island. You'll always be above when you're with God. All right, couple. Be still, and this is Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. And I want to comment on that. When you pray, don't pray in a panic. Okay? You can't panic pray. You have to be still. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored by the world. Now listen to this. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The Lord of heaven's army is here among us. Think about that. God's here because we're honoring God. We're talking about him. Have you ever been in the room when someone talked about you like you weren't even in the room? And when God is in the room, have we ever talked about him like he's not in the room? We want to remember that where two or three are gathered, that he is there in the midst. So he's right here. Okay, one more and then I'll turn it to Pam and I'll come back and read a few more. This is Psalm 81:5. I hear this most gentle whisper from one that I never guessed would speak to me. I'm still surprised God speaks to me. So let me repeat that again. I hear this most gentle whisper from one I never guessed would speak to me. And this is what he says. I took the world off your shoulders. I freed you from a life of hard labor. You called to me in your pain, and I got you out of a bad place. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, Pam.
You know, it's very interesting, and I've said this before, but people say, I found God, when the reality is we never found God. God wasn't lost. God found me when I was lost and going down for literally the last time. And God has always pursued us. But I just want to talk to you about when trouble comes. One of the benefits of being in the secret place is you are safe from the storm. You're safe in time of trouble. Have you ever been someone, maybe it's you today, where you feel like that hell is literally pursuing you from every direction of your life? Like things just, you have no peace, you have no joy because it seems like hell is pursuing you. If you will pursue God in that time and enter into the secret place, you can have peace, not because of the storm, in spite of the storm, you can have peace. And I believe with my heart that many, many people, and I do not say this with not one ounce of criticism, we're none where we need to be, okay? Let's start with that thought. But I don't believe that people pray like we should pray, that we have a daily prayer life, daily communication with God, that God is our first go-to instead of our in time of desperation and our last recourse. We live in a very harsh world. Things are not looking to get much better. And I always ask people that tell me that they pray a very telling question: where do you pray? I believe that anyone who has a regular prayer life has an altar of prayer, a specific place they pray. For me, anybody who knows me knows it's in my den by my wooden coffee table. It was there I was rebaptized in the Holy Spirit. It was there I share my heart with God and tell him everything, and he talks to me. But I believe that the secret place is a hiding place in time of trouble. And it's not that, you know, people say, well, you're hiding from the enemy. I don't have to hide from the enemy. I hide in Christ. Psalm 27:5 says, for in the time of trouble, and you may be in a time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. How would you like to know that I got in trouble and I ran to God's house and he hid me in his tabernacle, in his house? I'm hiding in God's house. He shall hide me and he shall set my feet high upon a rock. And even when people are pursuing you, I love the story of Daniel because that's a story of Daniel who had enemies, Ken. And they couldn't find anything against Daniel except one thing that he prayed. Wow, I wish that's the only thing people could see that was wrong in my life is that she prays. But I noticed a psalm, Ken, that it's 91 in Psalm 91, and this is what it says, and I never, ever really got this. It says, 1,000 may fall by your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. I want you to hear something. This is one of those scriptures where you can look at that and say, the 1,000 that fall on my side and the 10,000 are my enemies. Watch this. There's two ways. The 1,000 and the 10,000 that fall at your side are fellow warriors. And you probably haven't ever heard this. Even if 10,000 other believers are not spared from the trouble that comes their way, and they may not be always delivered. Not all are delivered out of every trouble that they face, even as believers. Do you know that? Do you understand? Have you ever asked yourself, why did this believer get delivered and why did that believer not? Now, they all went to heaven, but why didn't they get delivered? This psalm talks about a very specific type of believer, the one who abides in the secret place of the Almighty. They are saved. They are safe. They are delivered. Those are the ones who are delivered.
So I was always fascinated by scuba diving, and I always thought of that illustration that we are in the world, and if we are breathing in water, you're dead. The only way to live underwater is to have air from above. And when you go into the secret place, you are recharging your spirit. You're recharging your heart. And we're letting God remove burdens. We're letting God fill our tanks so we can go back out in the world. And I like that illustration. Maybe a better one is the deep sea diver. Because the deep sea diver does not carry any air with him whatsoever. None. The deep sea diver does not have air on his back. Well, how does he get air then? They have to have a hose connecting him from the surface, and they have to pump the water into his suit. He is literally breathing air from above. And you and I literally need to breathe heaven's air and drink heaven's water and eat heaven's bread. And come on, I know there's a lot in the world. I know there's a lot to be interested in. There's a lot to study. And no condemnation if you are 25. But I feel like God is telling me to drop things off my life and get in the Word. I just don't have time to become a Sudoku expert. Right? And what I really mean by that is to get involved in some political thing that I spent all my time doing that and then forget the Word of God. The Word's got to be first. And besides, all that stuff just makes you feel like you've walked through a, I don't know, you can't, when I used to, I was a waiter in a breakfast place, and smelling, you think smelling like breakfast is good? I reeked like breakfast. You can't, you know, if you work in a Clorox factory, you smell like Clorox when you come home. I don't care. If you work in a dynamite factory, you smell whatever, and if you work, if we live in the world and we're hanging out in the garbage dump, we're going to feel and think like that. We've got to be into that pool of God's living water. We've got to have that refreshing time. And now's the time where I read some more scriptures. When this is Jesus, the scripture we've already talked about, Matthew 6. When you pray, did you say, yeah. He didn't say it? Forgot she said that. So if it's not if you pray, it's when you pray, go away by yourself. Which, by the way, there's nothing wrong with being by yourself, but there is something wrong with living life by yourself. We need each other. And anytime we think I can make it without someone else, you can't. And by the way, you can't do it by yourself. I don't care how strong you are. There's going to become a time someone will have to help you carry your cross. Okay, sorry about that. When you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. And I think this is humorous, but I'm not sure he meant it to be humorous. But it's definitely good advice, whether he meant it to be humorous or not. When you pray, don't babble on and on like people of religion do. I think that's funny, you know, because, but he says, don't, they think their prayers will be answered by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them. So that's just being very genuine in our prayers. Okay, three more quick ones. This is just Jesus saying, in John 15, if you remain in me, I will remain in you. And that's where he talked about, I'm the vine and you're the branches. And I like that thought. A branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. So that's what that prayer closet does, is it connects us to God. Two more. This is Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians, but it's actually speaking through the Holy Spirit. And he says, I'm trying to be helpful and make it as easy as possible for you, not to make things harder. All I want, this is the heart of God towards us, all I want is for you to be able to develop a way of life in which you can spend plenty of time together with the Master without a lot of distractions. That's good, isn't it? That God, you know, to just focus on the Lord would be happier, right? Be a lot happier to focus on the Lord. Okay, and the last one, I think, is the best one that I saved for last. Wow. Okay, 2 Corinthians 3:16. It's kind of interesting, John 3:16. 2 Corinthians 3:16. Whenever, though, they turn their face to God, as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, you are, face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence. He's not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legalization, it actually says legislation, is recognized as obsolete. We are free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. Our faces shining with the brightness of his face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah. If you really think about the entire plan of God, it's to bring us to heaven. Isn't that the plan of God, is to have a family in heaven? You go, oh, I thought this was the plan of God. We are chickens in an egg that's about to hatch when you die. When a chicken hatches, you don't go, that's the end, he's gone. This life is so brief, it's like the time in the egg. We just pop our head out, look around, and make a decision whether God is God, whether to serve God, and we have this opportunity to really connect with God, to connect with the living spirit of God. But heaven is the goal. That's where we're going. Keep your eyes on heaven, the reality of heaven. I would remind you, you are not the person in the mirror. You are a spirit. You live in that body. But you are a spirit made after God's image and likeness. And there is a plan for you to be transformed. You are a caterpillar. Yes, you're just a worm now. Yes, you're going to be transformed into a butterfly. Yes, it's going to be amazing. So don't judge things from the life of the caterpillar. Cocoon yourself away with God in the secret place. And in that cocoon, in that place, God will develop who you really are.
Yes. So I'm going to close out with this. What we're talking about is pursuing a relationship with God. And to do that, it means we should not be pursuing things of the world. I laughed to myself when Pastor Ken was talking about becoming a Sudoku expert, so I'll give you my testimony. About 6 months ago, I had been playing a game for like 3 years online, a word game. I love words, and I'm good, and I'm fast. And I became number 13 in the nation, and I was intent on becoming number one. And all of a sudden, I began to be convicted about playing a word game. And I started telling God, this is just not fair. I have some little thing that I love to do for a change. It's not ministry.
And it's so ironic that it's called a word game. You're playing games with them.
But here's what the Lord told me. You know what? You can pursue that all day long. You probably can be number one in the nation. So what? And in pursuing that, what you're doing is leaving off time to pursue me. I could be, I mean, you could make, you too have things in your life. You might could make the Guinness Book of World Record. Maybe you could be number one in the nation at running. So what if I don't have a relationship with God when I could be doing things like that? The things of this world are poison. Let me tell you, I think the funniest story in my life, and Ken can probably tell it better than I can, is the day I called him with severe food poisoning. Severe. I mean, I could be graphic, but many people don't do two things at once, but I was able to. And I was sick. And Dave was saying, I'm going to call an ambulance. And I'm like, no, you're not. No, I can't leave here. I can't leave the bathroom, okay? You're not calling no ambulance. And I told Ken, and he said, well, tell me how it happened. And I said, well, I went to Manolo's at the gas station, and I got a tamale, and I'm dying. And Ken goes, do you usually get your food at the gas station? Maybe that's the problem. But here's the spiritual analogy to that. God told me this. A lot of my people have spiritual food poisoning. We've ingested stuff of the world, and we are shocked that we are sick, right? We need to pursue God. We need to eat the bread of the Word of God, and we will be healthy and fine, right? Instead of the poison of the world. Let's stand. We're going to pray. Because we talked about prayer and talking to God and recommitting our heart to be, the Bible even says that my house shall be a house of prayer, to pray. And we wonder why our prayer requests have not been answered. Have you prayed any prayer requests? Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word about entering into the secret place, Father God. We thank you that in your presence you will radiate sin out of our life. You will burn it out of our life because in your presence there can be no sin, that you will take care of things for us, that you will give us peace. Father God, that so many times we just seem to be a people who listen to the noise. It's chatter, chatter, chatter of the enemy. Father, but may we listen to you. And God, you're not screaming. You're speaking in a still, small voice. Father God, let us just calm ourselves and come before you, Father God, with a humble heart, not trying to manipulate you or control you, God, into getting things our way, Father God. Father, we just want to pray your word, and we ask that you would be in us. We ask that if there's any concerns here today, and especially for our Wanda, Father God, I ask for Wanda today, Father, that you would be with her in these next 2 weeks of quarantine. Father God, that for the nursing home, that the infection would go away. Father, in Jesus' name, we already are rejoicing at the victory. Father God, bring us back tomorrow night to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen.